Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue our introduction to the book of 1 Peter, which is our new study on the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, November 19. Many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's the way the book opens, and that's the way the author is introduced. Peter, the name that Christ gave him, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not just any apostle. Apostle could be anyone who is sent by another, who has been authorized to carry out a responsibility that involves being sent by someone else. But this apostle, along with 12 other men, was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was commissioned by Christ. He was sent on a mission by Christ. He represents Jesus Christ. He carries with him special authority that has been given to him by Christ, because the apostles of Christ had authority given to them by Christ, a level of authority that was shared by no one else except those who were likewise apostles of Jesus Christ. Consider with me what Jesus said in John 16, verses 13 and 14. He said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it unto you." We often take these words to apply to all of God's children, all Christians, but I do not believe that to be the case. I believe these particular words need to be understood as a special promise for the apostles of Christ. They are the ones to whom this was spoken. Obviously, many of the other things that Christ spoke in that upper room discourse do apply to all Christians of all ages, but this one applies to the apostles in a special way, though, because of their commission, all Christians are touched, all Christians are affected, all Christians are blessed by this promise, but not that we claim the promise directly, we get the benefit indirectly. And what do I mean by that? We'll look at it again. Jesus said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," he's talking about the Holy Spirit who will replace Jesus in the lives of his disciples. Up until now, they had been followers of Jesus Christ in a very literal and earthly way. Jesus was there as a human being upon the earth, and they literally followed him wherever he went. They got in line behind him and went where he went, and ate where he ate, and slept where he slept, and listened to him teach, the words coming out of his very own mouth. That's the way they had known him. That's the way they had followed him. A big change is coming when Christ speaks these words in John chapter 16. He is preparing them for his death and his ascension back to heaven. He started that preparation back in chapter 14. When he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And on it goes. Familiar passage, wonderful passage. He tells us in that passage that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Him. And He reveals Himself to His disciples as God in the flesh. Show us the Father, said Philip, and it will satisfy us. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and you do not know me? Show us the Father. Have I been with you so long, and you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How could he be any plainer than that? He said, on another occasion, I and the Father are one. And on this occasion, he said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. You can't be any clearer than that. So Christ is preparing them for his departure, but then he introduces the third member of the Trinity. We've got Father, we've got Son, but also Holy Spirit. And of course, the relationship, the unity between them is so tight that if the Spirit is present, Christ is present, just not bodily, physically, visibly, as they have been accustomed to, but Christ is present in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do some things for them that Jesus did not do while he was upon the earth. And now back to the verses we're looking at in John chapter 16, we learn what that is, or at least part of what that is. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I stop there. When we take that promise for ourselves, we can understand that to mean that a child of God led by the Holy Spirit cannot arrive at a misunderstanding of truth. He cannot arrive at false doctrine, because when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. But it's apparent, isn't it, that there are different Christians, all born-again believers who are saved and will be together in heaven, who arrive at different understandings of truth. Surely I don't need to convince you of that. We see evidence of that all around us. We see evidence of that almost every day. You, no doubt, have evidence of that listening to this broadcast. You hear me explain my understanding of Scripture. In some cases, I do not persuade you that my understanding is the correct one. You have a different understanding, or you know another Bible teacher who has a different interpretation, and you're not sure which one to accept, but one thing is clear, they can't both be right because they are different one from another. Somebody has not been led infallibly into all truth. But for the apostles of Jesus Christ, that is the promise. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, apostles, into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but of whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The apostles had been taught by Christ upon the earth, but there was much that Christ did not teach them. He says that elsewhere in the same upper room discourse. I have many things to say unto you, but I cannot teach them to you now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will lead you into all truth. In fact, that's right here, the very verse before the one I'm looking at, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You get the flow? Christ has infallibly taught his apostles many things, but they are not yet prepared to understand all the things that they need to know to be apostles of Christ. So, when Christ dies and is resurrected and ascends back to heaven, and the apostles are better equipped through these experiences, as well as some other things, but especially through the experience of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, and all of the understanding that that opens up for them that has been cloudy before, they are then going to be in a position to understand more things, the very same things that Christ was teaching them upon the earth, or maybe I should say the very same kind of truth that Christ was teaching them upon the earth. What he taught them was the infallible Word of God. It was infallible truth. It was the Word of Christ, which was, of course, the Word of God. I and the Father are one. Now the Holy Spirit is going to lead them into all truth, that is, all the truth that God intends to reveal to men. They're going to complete the revelation of what God intends for men to have. He's been revealing truth to men from the beginning. Go clear back to the book of Genesis. He has been revealing truth to men in the pages of Scripture, but the Scripture has not been completed, but it's going to be. These apostles and some prophets who are designated by God are going to be the human instruments to bring that about. And these apostles are going to be led into all truth, all New Covenant truth, all New Testament truth, all the doctrine that completes the Word of God, adding the New Testament truths to Old Testament truths. And these apostles are going to be guided into all truth, for he, that is the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, hearing it from whom? From Christ in heaven. And he will tell you things to come. Some people have taken that to be a reference to eschatology, but there really isn't a lot of eschatology in the New Testament. That is, prophecy of things that are yet future. But there are a lot of things in the epistles of the apostles that were not found in the Gospels, that you won't find in the red letters of the things that Christ spoke. There are a lot of other things. He will tell you additional things, additional truth. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine. This is the Holy Spirit now. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. So, the apostles have this unique position of being guided and guarded by the Holy Spirit so that they, all of them, come to a perfect and uniform understanding of New Testament doctrine. And they're going to be the ones who will deposit that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles are going to be the foundation of the church through their teaching, which is nothing more or less than the Word of Christ through his apostles. So this idea that the words of Christ, the red letters, are more authoritative than, say, the words of Paul, is wrong. This passage tells us that what Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, we're going to study Peter now, is just as much the Word of Christ as what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.